Part 17, text 26. It's like when Lord Shiva, he wears a garland of skull, and then blood is dripping, and then there is this very very fearful looking snakes around his neck. And he puts these ashes from the crematorium over his body. By doing all this, he looks more beautiful. This is written in all the shastras. And nobody feels like, oh my God, Lord Shiva is wearing these things. Nobody feels bad by looking at all these things that Lord Shiva has on his body. In fact, everyone who sees him, they glorify him because he looks very beautiful. In the same way here, Vitasura with his two arms cut off at the roots, bleeding profusely, looked very beautiful. Prabhupada says in the translation, he looks very beautiful like a flying mountain whose wings have been cut off, cut to pieces by Indra. One time I went to Mahakaleshwar in Ujjain. There is a Mahakaleshwar Mandir. When there was Kumbh Mela, we went there to take darshan of Lord Shiva. When we went there, the pujari was telling us that every day we get fresh ashes from dead bodies from the crematorium to put on Lord Shiva. Totally fresh. So he had put it, he had put that in the corner as prasad, and people that were walking in, they were touching it to their head and doing tilak on their head with these ashes. And I got such a shock because I knew this was a fresh dead body's ashes. And other people were all putting on their bodies as Mahaprasad of Lord Shiva, and I was up ahead with the devotees. And one person was telling me to take. He said, this is prasad, take. And I started stepping backwards. And I said to him, I'm not adhikari, I'm not qualified to wear this. Only Lord Shiva is qualified to wear this. I wouldn't put it on my body, I didn't do it. It's okay, it's a very big thing, it's prasad, but Lord Shiva only is qualified to wear this. So Lord Shiva, whether he puts a snake around his neck, or whether he has a garland made of skull, he looks very beautiful. And Lord Vishnu, he looks beautiful when he wears a lotus garland, when he wears yellow cloth. And if Lord Vishnu, he wears a garland of skull, he will look very frightening. And everybody will say, what happened? The Lord has become mad or what? And Lord Shiva is glorified because of this. He looks like this, he wears all these things, and still all the great personalities like Narad Muni, Four Kumaras, they come to him to hear Bhagavatam. Nobody detests looking at him. In fact, they all glorify his beauty. In the battlefield, when his one arm was cut off and he was speaking on Bhagavatam, on devotional service. That was very beautiful. Lord Krishna also, when he was in the battle of Kurukshetra, Bhishma Dev had broken his kavach. And he had shot one arrow at the Lord, tummy. Although there is no difference in the Lord's, there is no such thing as blood like ours. He is totally transcendental, but still he was showing that blood had dripped off his body. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes on this. The Lord wanted that one or two arrows hit him. He wanted that pleasure from his devotees. And that pleasure of having been hit by one or two arrows of Bhishma Dev, he got the same pleasure that he did get when he was in Vrindavan, and sometimes gopis' toes would bump in his feet, and there could be a little pain from the nails of the gopis as they bumped their foot to Krishna's foot. He actually used to enjoy it very much, and Bhishma's arrow that he got, he enjoyed his devotee Bhishma's arrow in the same way. He was feeling much pleasure. So there is beauty in a place because of what is happening there. So in the battlefield, this demon's beauty has been described here. In this way now, his other arm is cut. So there was no question of Vritasura now trying to pick up any weapon because he didn't have any of his two arms. But for Vritasura, Sukadev Goswami is calling him Mahaprano. In text 27. Sukadev Goswami is saying, Vritasura, he is Mahaprano and Mahavirya and Mahasarpa, Ivadvipam. He's saying, just as if you can imagine a very huge serpent or snake would swallow an elephant, how huge he must be. So this Vritasura Mahaprana, very great, very strong, Maha strong, and Mahavirya means Maha brave, uncommon prowess, and Mahasarpa, the greatest, the biggest snake. He looked like that, and what he did, he swallowed Indra, just like if you see a very huge snake would swallow an elephant, how huge he must be. He swallowed a whole elephant. In the same way, Vritasura, he swallowed, because he didn't have any arms or weapons he could hold, he swallowed Indra along with his elephant and his weapon. He just swallowed the whole thing. Even after his arms were cut off, he ate up, he swallowed Indra. Dvipam, dvipam means elephant. In this verse 27, dvi means two, and pam means to drink. One who drinks twice is called dvipam. Not dvip, not the long e, dvip, it's dvi, small e, dvipam. Dvi means two. Pa means to drink. Elephant drinks twice. Once he drinks, he takes up the water inside his trunk. And then he puts the water from the trunk into his mouth. So he drinks twice. How did he swallowed this Indra? Kritva dharam, dharam. He put his lower jaw on the dhara, means on the ground. He put his lower jaw on the ground. His mouth must have been few miles wide. So what he did, he put his lower chin on the ground and he opened his mouth, he opened his jaw to all the way up to the sky. Text 27. What he did, he opened his mouth, upper jaw reaching the sky, and his mouth became very deep, and his tongue looked like a very large serpent. Very huge tongue. It is said his tongue was very fearful and long like a snake, and damstrabhi, damstra means teeth, kalkalpabhi, his teeth were like kalkalpa, like exactly like the time factor or death. When Vritasur reached towards Indra in this way, then the all the mountains, they started to shiver. Sukadev Goswami says, it looked just like the Himalaya mountain was walking. When Vritasura moved in this way with his mouth open, it looked like a huge mountain had moved. Text 28, he says, when he was walking, it looked like Girirat Padachari, means Girirat, the Himalaya, looked like he was walking, Padachari, on his feet. The Himalaya suddenly had feet and the Himalaya was moving. He moved with his mouth open to the sky, with his tongue sticking out like a huge serpent and his teeth like the time factor itself, and he moved so quickly towards Indra, and as he breathed in, he just swallowed Indra along with his elephant. Just like the vacuum cleaner, sometimes you've seen the vacuum cleaner, how he pulls things in. As he just rushed his face towards Indra, and just as he breathed in, it was like Indra got sucked inside his mouth, just like a vacuum cleaner does. Sometimes I've seen the vacuum cleaners are very strong, very powerful. They suck up big, big pieces of cloth and paper and things. He breathes. He breathed in so heavy, and he came so close to him, and he swallowed him up. Text 29. Any person, if he wants to swallow something or eat something, they'll pick it up with their hand and they will put it in their mouth, but he had no more hands. He came very close. He came very close and he swallowed Indra, the elephant, and the Vajra, thunderbolt, everything. Text 30. And all the Prajapatis that were there, even Lord Brahma, they were all looking. And all the saintly persons, and all the demigods, all who had encouraged Indra to kill Vitasur, they all became shocked. Although Indra didn't want to kill him at this point, because he didn't want to be accused of Brahma Hatya, killing a Brahman Vaishnava. Tomorrow this katha will come. Indra didn't want to kill Vitasur, but all the Maharishis and Prajapatis, they had all told Indra to kill Vitasur with this thunderbolt. You do this, and then we will do Ashwamedha Yajna and we'll relieve you of your sins. Now all those Maharishis, Prajapatis, Lord Brahma, now they were feeling sorry. Oh, why did we do this? Alas, alas. What a calamity, what a calamity. We've lost our Indra. We've lost our king. What will happen now? Today Indra is finished. Who will maintain the world? Who will maintain the kingdom? Even Lord Brahma became very morose. They were thinking that Indra, after seeing the state of Vritasur, his mouth and his tongue and his teeth, they were sure that Indra must have been chewed up and killed. He must have just totally been finished. But he actually only swallowed Indra. He did not hurt him. Each one of his teeth were like a huge mountain, like a huge big grinding stone. In one time, he can squash thousands, chew up hundreds and thousands of people at one time. So everybody was crying and feeling very morose. And Vitasura also thought, now Indra must have died. So what he did? Then Vritasura thought, well, Indra has died. Now what is there to fight for? He took samadhi. Means he concentrated his mind on the Supreme Lord. And he started meditating on the Supreme Lord. And while he was in this samadhi of meditation, Indra, who was in his stomach, he ripped up his stomach with his thunderbolt and came out. And if Vitasura was awake in his outer consciousness, Indra could never have done this. Text 31. Sukadev Goswami is saying here, Surendra and Nirgino, that Surendra, Indra, was Nirgino, means he was swallowed. And even though he was in Udaram Gataha, although he went inside his Udar, his stomach, he says, Sukadeva Goswami says, Na Mama, he did not die. How? Why he did not die? In text 31, because Mahapurush Sannag. Mahapurush means Lord Narayan. There is no difference between Narayan and Narayan Kavach. Just like there is no difference between Mahamantra and Lord and the Supreme Lord Himself. In the same way, Narayan Kavach are some verses. Narayan Kavach is the protective armor of Narayan, and it is non-different from Narayan Himself. One who chants Narayan Kavach, he is protected in the same way as the Lord Himself would protect him. So Indra had a lot of practice of chanting the Narayan Kavach mantra. And because of chanting that Narayan Kavach, he was protected. So while he was, as he entered Vitasura's stomach, belly, he was chanting the Narayan Kavach. Like this. He started to chant. And yog maya balenacha means he took shelter of yog maya. When one has yoga maya, he can become smaller than the smallest, bigger than the biggest. So by taking shelter of Narayan Kavach and yoga maya, he made himself smaller than the smallest, very tiny. He made himself, when he got swallowed in Vritasura's mouth, Indra made himself so small that he could not have been chewed or killed in his stomach. And he had the bal of Maya, means he could become whatever he wanted in the stomach of Vitasura. He could make himself into air even, and he could just be like air and remain in his stomach. One thing was the Narayan Kavach, which was protecting him. Second was the Ashtanga Yoga, that the Siddhi that was protecting him. And the third, and the power of Yoga Maya. Yoga Maya, one can become, do like magic. He can sometimes appear somewhere and sometimes disappear, sometimes go here, sometimes go there, change his form like that. So when Devaraj Indra, when he went inside the stomach of Vitasura, how he must have desired to stay safe, it can be easily understood. When he went inside his mouth, he must have made himself like air and gone from underneath and sides of his teeth. And Vitasura was in Samadhi. Vajrena tat kukshim bhitva in text 32. With his thunderbolt, Lord King Indra pierced through Vitasura's abdomen to come out. Indra had killed one demon, his name was Bal. Here in this verse, Indra is called Balabhid. Balabhid means, Bala means, Bal was a big demon, his name was Bal, he was very powerful. And Balabhid means the slayer of demon Bala. After piercing his abdomen, he came out and he immediately started to cut off Indra's head, because he was not satisfied that after coming through his tummy that Vitasura would still be alive, he'll be dead. So he didn't believe that just because he had ripped open his, pierced through his abdomen, Vitasura was dead. He didn't believe that he was necessarily dead. So he tried immediately to try to cut off Vitasura's head. The demons and bhut pretas means the ghosts, etc., and snakes, they're like that. Even if you cut their body, as long as their head is alive, they may still live. Even if their body is cut from somewhere, still this is possible that they will still stay alive. So Indra, when he came out of his abdomen, he started using his vajra, his thunderbolt weapon, on the demon's head. He started to cut his head with a very high speed with this vajra. It is said that Vitasura's head was very high, just like a Himalaya mountain. It was very wide and very high, like the peak of a mountain. According to his body, he had the size of a head. His body was compared to a Himalaya mountain, so his head here is compared to the peak of a mountain. It is natural. If his body is compared to a Himalaya mountain, then it's not surprising if his head is compared to a peak of a mountain. So he started to cut his head. He started the vajra, and from all four directions, he started to move the vajra with a very high speed. Here Sukadeva Goswami says, he started to cut his Vitasura's neck with great speed, Ashu Vega. Ashu Vegaha means very fast. Kritan Samantat, all around. And Parivart Manaha means revolving. But while he was cutting the head, it took him 360 days. The amount of time it takes for the sun, moon, and the other luminaries to complete one northern and one southern journey. That's how long it took Indra to cut off Vitasura's head. You know, when the sun is moving, 6 months he's in the southern hemisphere and 6 months he's in the northern hemisphere. So each six month period is called ayan. So it is said in this verse 33, two ayans had passed. Two ayans, each one 6 months, that's 12 months. And 12 months, that's 360 days. And so fast this his vajra was moving, like a very fast rotating machine. And at the end of the 360th day, his head fell off onto the ground. Such an amazing description there is given in this Bhagavatam, that to cut Vritasura's neck off with a great weapon like Vajra, it took him 360 days at this very high speed. Then the head fell off. Up till now, nobody had said Jai Jai, even when Indra burst out of his stomach, and nobody had said anything to glorify, and they watched Indra to cut work on his neck for 306 days. Until then, nobody said a word. And finally, when the Vritasura's head fell off to the ground, the demigods, Gandharvas, Maharishis, they were all glorifying, saying, Jai Jai, Jai Indra. So they were immediately, Gandharvas and Siddhas in the heavenly planet, they started to beat kettle drums, and the Vedic hymns were chanted, and they celebrated Lord Indra's prowess. The great sadhus, they were chanting mantras, praising Indra's and showering flowers upon him with great pleasure. Text 34. All kinds of musical instruments started to play. Vritasura is dead, Vritasura is dead. While he was alive, still alive, nobody made a sound. When his head was cut off, then everybody was chanting and singing and music and jai jaikars, and there was a shower of flowers on Indra. Up till now, the demigods were all also in doubt. They were thinking, even after the two arms were cut off, if he can swallow Indra, then while the head is still there, what assurance is there that he is dead? And how did they glorify him? They says in text 34, Vartragna Lingas, that they had immediately put all this leela of Lord Indra killing Vritasura into a song, and they immediately started to sing these songs with music. They were saying thank you. The demigods, they don't have to learn songs written by somebody else. If they want to speak, they immediately start speaking in poems, in songs, straight. They're called Ashu Kavis, poets. Very rare. In Vrindavan, there was a Banamali Sharan Shastri. One time, the president of India came to Vrindavan. So he was called to welcome the president, and to welcome the president, he just appeared on the stage and he started to glorify him in Sanskrit poems, immediately made in his head. He had not prepared. And for ordinary person to know the meaning of each word, Sanskrit word, is difficult. But he was just continuing to speak in poems and songs in Sanskrit to welcome the president to Vrindavan. So there are some people like that, very talented on earth, but the demigods are all like that. So the demigods started singing in the Sanskrit poems that, Lord Indra, you're so great. There's this sinful demon Vritasura, he was torturing us, and how you did you went to fight with him, and what all things happened in the war, and how your vajra fell off. They were just singing the whole story, whole leela of Indra and Vritasura in the battlefield and showering flowers. They were showering flowers of Indra, because it was a very big feat for them to have Indra dead. They actually hadn't slept for many years. They were tortured so much by Vritasura. They hadn't slept for many years. Now that Vritasura was dead, today they will be able to sleep peacefully. They were completely at ease. Otherwise, people were afraid when he'll just jump in and swallow the whole town. They were always in fear. Text 35. Something very wonderful happened. Here, Sukadev Goswami is telling King Parikshit. There was an Atma spark came out of Vritasura's body and went home back to Godhead. When the living entity is in his original swarup, he is seen as bright as a sun. Actually, he has a form, but the light that comes from his swarup, his form, looks like a sun, light that's coming out of the sun, very bright. And everybody saw this, especially the demigods. They saw that this a living spark came out of Vritasura's body. And the living spark that came out of Vritasura's body, while they were looking on, they saw that this spark went far away from the material world into the spiritual world, in the dham. And Vritasura, he became an associate of Lord Sankarshan and entered into the transcendental world, back home to Godhead. It's called Alokam. Vaikuntha is called Alokam. Loka is this material world, and Aloka means beyond this material world. The supreme abode filled with Brahman effulgence is called Aloka. And very, very fortunate souls who become perfect in this world, they leave this body and then they go to the Vaikuntha Loka in service of their Lord. So Vritasura went to Vaikuntha Loka to serve his Lord Sankarshan. So this sixth canto, 12th chapter here finishes. Vritasura's glorious death. This is Canto 6, Chapter 13, Text 1. This is a chapter called King Indra Afflicted by Sinful Reaction. So, Sri Sukadev Goswami says, O King Parikshit, after Vritasura was thus killed, all the three planetary systems, all the living entities in all the three planetary systems and all the presiding deities were all immediately very pleased and free from trouble. Vina sakrena means Vina means without, sakrena means Indra. Sakrena means one who did 100 horse sacrifices. So except Indra, everyone in all the three planetary systems, in all the living entities and their presiding deities, everyone was jubilant, they're happy, free from trouble everyone except Indra. So one might ask, if everyone is so happy, how is it that Indra wasn't happy? So everybody was pleased because Vitasura is dead, they're free from anxiety. But Brahma Hatya, the killing of a Brahman or a Vaishnav, Brahma Hatya, who was responsible for that sin? King Indra was. Many times it's seen that many people may instigate a one person, you kill this, you they all get together and instigate, encourage a certain person to kill somebody. So this person kills that somebody, and when he kills this person, so this killer, he's the one that the police takes, and the others all run away. They don't even want the government to know that they were involved in helping this person kill this, to do the killing. So everyone went to their homes being very happy, but Indra was very unhappy. In verse 1, Sukadev Goswami uses the word Sadhyo Vijjwara. No Jwar means all these people of all the three planetary systems, they now became without Jwar. Jwar means fever. It's not that before they had fever temperature. This fever was of them in their mind and heart from being so afraid and tortured. So now they were free of that fever.
Devarsi Pitribhutani Daitya Devanuga Swayam Prati Jagmuhuso Vishnani Brahmesendra Dayastapaha.
Here Sukadev Goswami is telling another, the second verse, that the demigods, saintly persons, the people from Pitri Loka, people from Bhuta Loka, the demons, the devatas, the demigods, and even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, and all the demigods who were servants of Lord Indra, they all returned to their own homes. So all these people, Sukadev Goswami says, Swayam Prati Jagmu. On their own, they went to their own homes. Swayam here means that they did not say bye to Indra. They did not speak to Indra while they were departing. So once Vritasura was dead, all of these great and small personalities, wherever they were, they just disappeared quickly to their homes. Nobody said to Indra, okay, now thank you, we're going to do our jobs. Nothing. They just quickly disappeared. They all knew, they all were very aware, now Indra is going to get the sin of Brahma Hatya, such a great Vaishnav. They were hearing all this time on the battlefield how great a Vaishnav Vitasura was. So they all knew that now Indra is going to get the reaction of killing a Vaishnav. So they didn't want to be a part of it. They just all very quickly disappeared, including Lord Brahma, Shiva, and all the demigods. And if they thought if they would go up and say bye bye to Indra, then everyone will understand that he was included in killing of Vritasura, that he was responsible, they may also get a reaction. In this verse, Prabhupada is translating this word Swayam. Swayam means on their own, independently they left. Prabhupada is saying independently, without asking permission from Indra, they return to their abodes. that now they were thinking, even if they go close to Indra, everyone will, in the whole world, they'll know that Indra and this one were together in this. Although they had all come to see the show, and they were all telling Indra, you must kill him, you must kill him, we'll help you, we're on your side. But now they all disappeared. And the Maharishis, the Rishis, they had even told Indra, listen, if you do Ashwamedha Yajna, even if you kill a, what to speak of killing a Brahman, if you were killing a Brahman and the whole world at the same time, we can still relieve you of the sinful reaction. They were trying to tell him like this. Before Indra went to kill him, they encouraged him. They said, so what is the harm in killing Vritasura? There will be no reaction for you. He was such a great demon. He was torturing the whole universe. You go ahead and kill him. We will protect you. Why are you afraid? We're here. We'll do Ashwamedha Yajna. And when Indra killed Vritasura, they all disappeared. And why they will now do Ashwamedha Yajna? Poor Indra now for 1,000 years. He had to live without eating and drinking. That story will come. Maharaj Parikshit says, so everybody went. Maharaj, all the Brahma, Shiva, all the demigods, they went to their homes, and Indra went, but Indra did not go to his home. Even if he went to his house, he must have said to his wife, now, I have to run away, I have to hide. I have killed the Brahmana, I have killed the Vaishnava, now what will happen? Everybody went to their home. So Maharaj, now text number 3 is Sri Rajo Uvacha. Maharaj Parikshit is asking, he's saying, Maharaj Parikshit said that I want to hear what was the reason for Indra's unhappiness. Please tell me about this. He said when he killed Vritasura, all the demigods were very extremely happy. Why then was Indra himself so unhappy? When all the demigods were happy, Indra should have been more happy because he was the king of the demigods and he was actually swallowed. He was swallowed by Vritasura. And to protect himself, he killed Vritasura. So actually, Indra should have been happy after having killed the enemy. And King Parikshit is saying to Sukadeva Goswami, you are saying that everyone was happy, only King Indra was unhappy. Why? Why Hari was unhappy? Sometimes Indra is considered to be Lord and he is called Hari. So here is indicating why Indra was unhappy. Iti srotum icchami. I would like to hear. So then Sukadeva Goswami is telling Parikshit Maharaj that one time Indra had killed a Brahman, his guru, Vishwarup. So the sin of killing the Brahmana, he had made into 4 parts, and he had distributed these 4 parts. When the Munis or Rishis had told Indra, you should kill Vritasura, then at first Indra said, no, I will not kill Vitrasur, because one time I have already killed a Brahman, my guru, Visharup, and I had to distribute the sin into four different personalities. Now again, if I do this killing, who will take the reaction? Then the Rishi said, "Don't you worry, we will do Ashwamedha Yajna and we will purify you." Whatever sin there is, we'll do Yajna and we'll clear the sin. And to kill Vritasura, there will be no sin upon you. Because he is Khal. He is Dushta. He is demon. First they had thought like this, talked like this, and after killing of Vritasura, they did not speak a word. They did not even speak to him that we're going and they will come back and do a Yajna for you. They just quickly disappeared. Once their job is done, they just deserted him. They thought, well, he did the job, let him be entangled, let's run away. In India there is a song like this. Once your job is done, you don't even recognize a person when you see him. Like you don't even know him, never seen him before. So this katha, Srila Sukadev Goswami is going to say in great detail. So today we'll stop here. So tomorrow is the last day of the katha. And after the katha, we have, in our culture, we have anumodan. Anumodan means we speak a few lines about the topic, subject matter that we heard. We don't speak about the person who's speaking. It is not to speak about him. It is to speak about what you've heard from the Bhagavatam. So everyone should try to have a few lines ready to glorify this topic. This is called anumodan.